is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
In case of rapture, this radio show will be unmanned today. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who is recuperating from his surgery and his time in the hospital, and he is ready to get back behind this microphone. As a matter of fact, he almost had himself talked into coming back today, and I think probably with a little help from his wife, decided to rest up for a few more days before he gets back to the microphone. I'm broadcasting today from Raleigh, North Carolina, from WRVA. I'm here in Raleigh preaching at Open Door Church here about the end times, and that's what I want to talk to you about today, the end of the world as we know it. How does that affect your life? How does your view of the end times, how does your view of what's going to happen to you in the end, your view of heaven, your view of hell, how does that determine what you do now? How does that change your life right now? And how do you think it impacts the lives of the people all around us? What's a way in which our understanding of what people are hoping for, what they're fearing, ought to be able to change the way that we see them, the way that we talk to them, the way that we live with them? I want you to join the conversation today about the end times, how your view changes the way that you see reality. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You know, even today, as I was getting ready to get on the airplane in the airport, going through the newspaper, there are end times scenarios everywhere, all over the place. You know, even discussion about this television program, 24, which I've never seen. I had a next-door neighbor who was a 24 maniac. As a matter of fact, he spent, I think he told me one time, 8 hours watching 24 reruns. I don't understand that, but it must be a good show in his estimation. I've never seen it. But supposedly, on the season premiere of this program, there was an atomic bomb that went off in Valencia, California. This was the kind of the climax of the program. There's an atomic bomb that's gone off, and who knows what's going to happen after that. Well, that's an end time scenario. There are a lot of people right now, the very reason why that program is able to broadcast this is because there are people who are nervous all over the world and all over the country about that very kind of scenario, especially when you have such scary things as Iran threatening to get a nuclear weapon, and you have all of these rogue terrorist groups out there. Well, what if, some people are wondering, the entire planet just turns up to be a charred remain floating through space? That changes the way that you view reality. O.J. Simpson in the news because of his excerpt in Newsweek magazine about his book that never made it, If I Did It, This Is How, where O.J. Simpson is talking about, if I killed Nicole Simpson, this is what I would have done. This is what it would have looked like. And so all of these psychiatrists and psychotherapists are saying, you know what you have here is a veiled confession. You have a man who feels guilty and he's seeking to find some type of catharsis or cleansing by confessing in this kind of way that doesn't bring any legal jeopardy. Well, I mean, that's an issue of the end times. That is O.J. Simpson trying to deal with a conscience. What's the conscience saying to him? The conscience is saying to him, you're facing the judgment of God. You're facing the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he seeks to deal with it in the way he wants to deal with it, and it's all over the newspapers. Even today, Fidel Castro is said to be in grave health in Cuba. My assistant, Robbie Sagers, is with me today. He's rolling his eyes. We've been having this argument all the way up the stairs because he's convinced that Fidel Castro is dead. He thinks it's Elvis in reverse. Fidel is dead, and that they've just got some kind of Weekend at Bernie's thing going on down there in Cuba where they're pretending that he's still alive. And I guess he thinks they're just kind of leaking out the bad news a little bit at the time. But that's an end times issue. Fidel Castro has to be wondering, you know, what's going to happen to me when I stand before God for all of these murders, for all of this terror, for all of this tyranny? What's going to happen to me? That's not just a question that Fidel Castro has to ask. That's a question that every single person has to wonder. What's the end of the story? Now, what I want to know from you is, when you think about the end of everything, when you think about heaven, when you think about hell, when you think about judgment, do you think about that on a regular basis? And if so, How does that change the way you parent? How does that change the way that you live in your marriage? How does that change your church life? How does it change your work life? What is your view of heaven or hell? How does that change the way that you live? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know what you think about how your view of the end changes the way you live right now, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. In the meantime, before we get to that, some interesting news today. Barack Obama, rock star U.S. Senator from Illinois, announced today that he is filing papers to form an exploratory committee to run for President of the United States of America. And this is what Senator Obama had to say about that.
Years ago, as a community organizer in Chicago, I learned that meaningful change always begins at the grassroots, and that engaged citizens working together can accomplish extraordinary things. So even in the midst of the enormous challenges we face today, I have great faith and hope about the future, because I believe in you. And that's why I want to tell you first that I'll be filing papers today to create a presidential exploratory committee.
So he's filing the papers today. He is coming out of the gate. And not only that, he's not only telling us that he's running an exploratory committee, which in presidential politics means you're running. Unless something bad happens, you're running once you've formed that committee. He also had this to say. He's got a date in mind for when he's going to make the big formal announcement. Listen to this.
For the next several weeks, I'm going to talk with people from around the country, listening and learning more about the challenges we face as a nation, the opportunities that lie before us, and the role that a presidential campaign might play in bringing our country together. And on February 10th, at the end of these discussions and in my home state of Illinois, I'll share my plans with my friends, neighbors, and fellow Americans.
And what that means is there's going to be a big announcement February the 10th in Chicago in which Senator Obama is going to announce, I'm in, I'm running. And that's going to cause a very, very interesting race. I mean, you've got Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John McCain, Mitt Romney, Sam Brownback. I mean, these are some really big figures running for the presidency. I remember back in 1988 when the Democratic field was called the Seven Dwarfs because none of them really seemed to have much gravitas behind them. This year, that's all different. I mean, this is going to be a big and exciting field with some really interesting debates going on. Here's my prediction. I think that Barack Obama has the kind of charisma in that Democratic primary that I think he will upset Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primaries next year. Now, I might be wrong. Hillary Clinton is very gifted. She is very organized. But I think that there's something unique going on with Obama that's going to resonate with Democratic primary voters, and that means he's going to be a very, very strong candidate. And we're going to be talking about him, I'm sure, on this program a lot over the next few months and the next couple of years, probably, because he definitely represents a change from the Bush administration and represents a very different viewpoint from that of most American Christians. So the way that Senator Obama attempts to sell himself to Christian voters on issues such as abortion and marriage and other things, that's going to be very, very interesting to watch. But today, we're not talking about 2008. Well, maybe we are, if 2008 represents the end of the world. Maybe 2007. Maybe 2095. When is the end of the age? When is that time in which the Bible tells us God wraps up all of history, he judges us, and he brings about a new heavens and a new earth? It really doesn't matter, Jesus tells us, when. As a matter of fact, Jesus consistently answers the question. Whenever anybody in the New Testament asks Jesus, when are you coming back? He always says, essentially, be quiet. It's none of your business. And he turns around and says, but you keep this in mind. He talks about keeping our minds focused on treasures that we have in heaven. He talks about keeping our minds focused on the judgment seat. You have the Apostle Paul talking about keeping our minds focused on where our citizenship is in heaven. And I'm just wondering, how many of you think about the end of the age? How many of you think about your concept of heaven, of hell, of judgment, of the new earth? And how does that change the way that you live right now? How does that impact the way that you go about your everyday life? Or does it at all? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'm here in Raleigh, North Carolina, preaching about the end times, and I'm really glad to be doing that because I think there are a lot of churches out there that are afraid to talk about the end times. They're afraid to talk about the new heavens and the new earth simply because they're afraid it seems kooky. Because you got a lot of people out there on television, a lot of people out there on the radio, a lot of people out there who have detailed prophecy charts, and they think that they can identify Saddam Hussein in biblical prophecy and everything else. They say, you know, we're just going to shy away from that. We don't have that option. The Bible tells us that your vision of the end has everything to do with how you live now. I want to know from you, how does it change the way you live in your neighborhood, in your family, in your church, at your dinner table? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, the end of the world. How does it change now for you? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, from WRVA's studios. And I'm in town in North Carolina to preach about the end of the world, about the end times, and specifically about the new heavens and the new earth and what that means for us as Christians. And I'd frankly like to talk to you before I talk to this church tonight. How does your view of the end times, how does your view of heaven, of hell, of judgment, how does that change the way you live now? How does that change the way that you relate to your spouse? How does that change the way that you do your job? How does that change the way that you share the gospel? How does that change the way that you just live out your life? Give me a call. Let me know at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And what do you think is going on in the minds of most unbelievers that you know when they think about this issue, when they think about judgment, when they think about afterlife, when they think about all of these issues of the end of their time here? What do you think's going on in their minds? What do you think they're thinking about? And how can we better connect with them about the reality, the glories of the kingdom of God, and also the fearfulness about judgment? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We've had a cigarette issue in our house. No, none of my sons are smoking. They're 5, 5, and 1. But we did have an issue where one of my sons got really interested in cigarettes because he saw a man in our neighborhood smoking, and he saw the Pink Panther on a cartoon smoking, and he started asking questions about it. I said to him, well, cigarettes will kill you. Cigarettes make you sick. Cigarettes make you die. They're bad. They're horrible. We don't smoke them. Problem is, he doesn't know that that's not something you should announce. And so we were walking down the sidewalk, and a lady was coming down smoking a cigarette, and Benjamin announced at the top of his lungs, "Daddy, look, there's a lady, and she's smoking a cigarette, and she's a lady, and she's old, and she's going to die, and then she's going to go to either heaven or hell, depending on whether or not she believes in Jesus." And I had to just sit there and say to the lady, I don't even really know what to say to you right now after he just said that. But really, he was thinking about the end of the age. He was thinking about the last time, the last days. He was thinking about judgment. She wasn't. And it was a little disturbing to her to have a 5-year-old announce that to her. Problem is, there are all kinds of people out there, including in our own churches, that just don't think about the end. They don't think about judgment. They don't think about kingdom. They don't think about heaven. They don't think about hell. And frankly, I think there are too few of us thinking about those issues. What about you? How does your view of the end change the way that you live your life right now? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Patricia, who is calling from Miami, Florida, sunny Miami. Patricia, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
I told your screener that I think about it probably every day or like every other day.
Really?
Because I think that's pivotal. I mean, I love Jesus. I'm trying to serve him, and I just think it's exciting, and that I don't think enough Christians think about it personally.
Why don't you think that we do? Why is that the case?
I think people are maybe too attached to this world's goods, and I was telling your screener, I'm very successful. I make a ton of money. I mean, but I give away a lot of missions because I think it's important.
Yeah.
But well, I have a lot of things, but those things aren't, it can't compare to Jesus. It can't compare to heaven. And that's where I think our focus should be. If we really understood the glories of heaven, we wouldn't be so satisfied with these trinkets.
So, Patricia, that's what helps you to keep from kind of being lured off into what you have, is the fact that you're looking to the kingdom of God and to what he has for you.
Yeah, exactly, because who knows? I mean, you know, I live in Florida where there's a hurricane. What if I lose it tomorrow?
Yeah,
I can't be attached to, you know,
yeah,
some material things. But I just think that our, if we really, really focused on heaven and just the person of Jesus, we wouldn't be so attached to these things.
Patricia is making a great point, I think. She's arguing that that we don't have enough of a view of the end, and that changes how much we love the present and how much we love stuff. I think she is exactly right. One of the saddest things that I see driving around, and I saw this just recently in my hometown back in Mississippi, are all of these storage sheds being built where people are putting all the junk that they can't fit into their houses. I mean, you know, I can see, I'm not saying that having a storage shed is wrong. I'm not saying that renting a storage shed is evil. I'm just wondering, what does it say about us as a culture that we keep buying and renting these places to stuff all the stuff that we can't stuff in our houses? And what does that do about the way that you view the kingdom of God? What does that do about the way that, what does it do the way that you see storing up treasures, as Jesus says, in heaven, treasures that come with him at the coming of Christ? I think that is exactly right. I think the other problem that Patricia's kind of hitting on here is that we see the end as being so different from our lives now. I think a lot of people really see the end as flitting around on clouds, looking at a light, strumming a harp, as this just endless choir practice that goes on and on and on and on. And frankly, I think a lot of Christians see heaven as boring. And frankly, I think that the way that we're preaching and teaching the new heavens and the new earth, we give every reason to believe that it's boring. It isn't choir practice. It is instead what Jesus says. It is a calling to work and to labor, to rule with him, as he says to John in the Revelation. It is living on the earth, in the universe that's been recreated in a glorious way with the ruling and reigning Lord Jesus, in a way that is not boring at all. It is far more exciting than we can even think or imagine. As a matter of fact, we just have few words to even talk about it. But we think it's boring. And so what do? We turn back around to all of our junk. What about you? How does your view of the end change the way that you live right now? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have John, who is listening in Elizabeth, New Jersey. John, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Good evening. Thank you. My question is regarding everlasting life in hell.
Mm-hmm.
For sinners, everlasting consciousness for sinners,
yes.
Or anyone, I presume, who hasn't accepted Jesus as their Savior. Frankly, it just seems so fantastic and fairy-tale-ish to me, but yet my wife and many people in my congregation at my home believe this.
John,
I can't bring myself to believe it. Is it
John,
true?
Are you a Christian?
I do recite the Apostles' Creed, but I'm not even convinced that the Holy Spirit is a person. There are several things I have many questions about it, but I was raised in a Roman Catholic home, and I attend although I'm not a member of the Reformed Church in America.
Okay. Well, John, you've asked a very good question, and one that many people ask is hell. Does it last forever? Is it conscious punishment? And I think the Bible teaches, yes, that it is. And I think there's a reason for that. John, sinning against God, you're sinning against an infinitely majestic, infinitely holy being. That requires an infinite punishment. It is far more than just a trivial offense. It's a sin against a holy Creator God. Other issue is that when we're cast into hell, what's happening is that God is turning us over to what we want, turning us over to who we are. We finally get the God we wanted ourselves, and that is a giving us over to sinfulness. People in hell don't suddenly stop sinning. I mean, sin is any transgression of the law of God. People in hell are not loving the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their neighbors as themselves. They are continuing to sin and piling up more and more judgment. And that's why, John, I would say to you, unless you fly to Christ, unless you count him as your only hope of salvation, you face that kind of judgment. And I would just plead with you, come to Christ, believe in Christ, look to him. What about you? How does your view of the eternal state, how does your view of heaven and hell change your life now? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, and this is the Albert Mueller Program.
If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I just as soon stay home.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. And Hank Williams Jr. says if heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, he doesn't want to go. I think, frankly, there are a lot of people who have that same kind of attitude. They look at the end. They look at the idea of heaven, really of a new earth that we present. And their idea of this is to say, you know, that sounds boring. I think even Christians out there, I think there are a lot of Christians that wouldn't say that. But they really don't long for the end. They don't long for the coming of the Lord Jesus simply because they don't really get why we ought to be excited about that. I mean, you're dead. We think of it as the afterlife. We think of it as floating around as Casper the Ghost on a cloud, and that is not at all the picture that the Scripture gives to us of the end. As a matter of fact, it's an idea that Jesus tells us ought to transform the way that we live all of the time. The kingdom of God, it's here and it's coming, and it ought to change the way that we live. My question to you is, how does your view of the end, how does your view of the end times, your view of heaven, your view of hell, your view of judgment, how does your view of those things change the way that you live right now? And why do you think that so many people in our churches don't think about this issue? I'm not just talking about in church. I'm not just talking about in Sunday school, but every day while they're living. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me hear from you. We have David, who is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. David, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moore. I really appreciate what you've done with the show since Dr. Mueller has been absent. You've done a great job.
My comment is, real quick,
I am so excited to go to heaven. I pray constantly for my family and my friends that I know that aren't saved. I work with a bunch of people that are not believers, and it just excites me to bring people with me. I can't wait to go to church to meet more people to just know who I'm going to be with when I go to heaven.
What about your unsaved friends, David? What do you think they think is going to happen to them at death? Or do you think they even think
about
it?
A lot of them are just in the world, and they really think that the whole world's going to go to heaven. It's going to be great. They don't believe in hell for the most part.
David, I think that's a good point. I think that we really have this attitude about heaven, even in television commercials. You notice the television commercials where everybody is always standing at the pearly gates, and you have St. Peter out there with the checkbook going through and letting everyone in into popcorn heaven or whatever it is. And that's kind of the attitude our culture has. There's a heaven, if we even think about it at all, but that's not the picture of the end that we get in Scripture. There is a judgment that is happening, and then there is a recreation. So that it's not just some wispy spiritual existence, it is everything that is good about life, relationships, eating. Jesus talks about, you will sit down at the table and eat with me. Life and work and vocation, all of those things are redeemed and recreated, and we just don't think about it, we just don't talk about it. What about you? What is your view of the end, your view of heaven, hell, judgment, the second coming of Jesus? What is your view about those things? How does that change the way that you live right now? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know what you think about when you think about the end. What do you hope for when you hope for the kingdom of God, for the coming of Christ, for heaven? What's your thought about that? How does it change the way that you live? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Bruce on the line, who is listening in WFIA in Louisville, Kentucky, where I left this morning. Bruce, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you. A quick question. I struggle with getting excited, even when you put it in terms like you did. We eat in heaven. There's got to be more. What do we do there, and what is the end of our existence there?
Very good question, Bruce. I think that what Jesus reveals to us, and he reveals to John in Revelation 21 and 22, is that in heaven there is a ruling with Christ. There is a reigning with Christ, and there also is a continuing of relationships. So that in the new creation, it's not as though all you have are clouds. Everything that God declared to be good still exists, is around. So that you've got, for instance, Isaiah saying that you will have animals, you will have vegetation, and you will have specific callings. I don't think that we know exactly what we are going to do, except that we're going to be continuing to serve Christ, continuing to love one another, and I think that means specific areas of ruling authority. So that you've got Jesus saying, for instance, you will be given crowns. I don't think those crowns are just trophies. I think those crowns are areas of responsibility, areas of ruling authority. So that the kind of joy that we get when we work, those of you who are farmers, the kind of joy that you get when you farm, the kind of joy that you get when you drive a truck, when you're fulfilling your calling, I think those things are continued only at an infinite degree. We're still working, we're still living, we're still loving, we're still communing, but in a glorious and magnificent way. What about you? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How does your view of heaven, hell, the end, judgment, how does that change the way that you live right now? This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. I agree with you, Belinda, but not quite the way that you mean it. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Heaven is a place on earth. Yeah, I think the Bible teaches that the new earth comes about when Jesus returns from the heavens and he restores the entire creation. Everything about the creation, everything that we love that is present here, he will recreate. But the Bible says that only those who are born again enter into that new creation. Only those who know Christ walk into that new creation, a new creation that we can't even imagine or describe except in very, very limited terms. I think, though, that you've got a lot of Christians out there who aren't spending enough time thinking about the end. Or if they are, they're thinking about minutiae. They're sitting there with their prophecy charts and they're trying to decide who's got 666 in his or her name, rather than spending enough time sitting there and saying, we've got judgment coming, and this is what that means for me now. I've got a new creation coming, and this is how it transforms my life now. My question to you is, how does your view of the end, how does your view of your eternal hope or your eternal fear, how does that change the way that you live right now? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. There may be some of you out there who are not Christians, who say, you know what, this is what I kind of think about when I think about the end of my life. This is how I see it. I'd love to hear from you. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. John called earlier, said he recites the Apostles' Creed when he goes with his wife to church, but he doesn't really believe that there's an everlasting hell waiting for those who are outside of Christ. I think he's wrong. I think he's dangerously wrong. But frankly, I think there are a lot of people like John sitting in our pews in our churches. They just don't think about it. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And I'll tell you another way that I think that our ignorance of the end or our ignoring of the end really comes into play. I am so sick of seeing this Rosie O'Donnell, Donald Trump back and forth, where you have these two people seeking to glorify themselves and seeking to slap at each other in order to get more fame and in order to get more airtime. And frankly, I think that there's a lot of that on a much smaller scale going on in our churches, where you've got people fighting with one another for glory, fighting with one another for positions of prominence within the church. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul says is going on in the church at Corinth. And he says, don't you know that you will one day judge angels? Don't you know that you will one day rule the universe? You can't even govern your own affairs in your own churches. I think there's a lot of that going on in our churches. I think that has a lot to do with the fact we don't really believe what we say we believe. about the end. We don't really believe that those who humble themselves will be exalted, and those who are exalted will be humbled. I'm convinced most of us either don't believe that or we don't spend any time thinking about it. What about you? How does your view of the end change the way that you live right now? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe some of you who need to let me know, why is it we don't spend enough time thinking about the end, and how can we change that? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Christy on the line in Ionia, Michigan, listening on XM Radio. Christy, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. I just have a quick comment. I was saying, I, like you're one of your first callers, I think of it daily.
Okay.
And the way I try to practice or get ready is Matthew 24, you know, just watch, look for the signs, and be ready. And then in your answer, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about this, you know, what do you think about the end or when your life ends? But they don't think about it. Most people, they just don't want to think about it. It seems like a big fairy tale to them.
Yeah.
Like on your screener, you know, it's going to happen the way God has intended it regardless, you know.
Kathy, what influence in your life caused you to think about it, since most people don't?
I was raised Christian, and then I backslid, and now I'm in my 40s and really coming back to what matters, you know.
Okay.
And so just knowing that, you know, it will end, and regardless of what you believe, it's going to happen the way it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, Christy, that's a good point. I think there may be a lot of people in your situation who have been disciplined by the Lord, as Hebrews chapter 12 teaches us that God is, as a father, he disciplines those who are his children. Some of those who have wandered away and have had some difficult experiences being brought back, maybe they're the ones who sometimes have a more heightened awareness of the fact that this isn't this illusion that we have all around us is one day coming to an end. It seems like things are going to continue on the way they are forever. That's the way it seemed in the generation of Noah. Apostle Peter warns us that's easy to think right now, and it's not the case. What about you? How does your view of the end, your view of judgment, your view of heaven, your view of hell, how does that change the way that you live your life right now? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Kathy on the line calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. Kathy, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. It's been my experience when talking to a family member, actually, and talking about, you know, what about the end, and his answer was that he doesn't believe there is a God to start with, so there is no heaven or hell, and when your time is up, you're up, and you're gone, and I get a lot of scoffing from him for having accepted Christ, and I don't seem to be able to get through to him.
Well, Kathy, I can tell you on the basis of the authority of the Word of God that he doesn't really believe that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that everybody has a knowledge, Romans chapter 2, a knowledge of the law of God and a certain expectation of judgment. There's a fiery expectation of judgment, the writer of Hebrews says. I think that is present in every human being created in the image of God. What you have going on with your brother is somebody who is in denial, as contemporary psychotherapists would say. He's scoffing at you because he really doesn't want to think about judgment. As a matter of fact, there's no way that anyone lives consistently believing that all there is to this life is just this biological life and then the end, and then a lack of consciousness. Why do people believe that? Why do they continue to live as though their life has purpose and meaning? Why do they scream when the plane starts rocking and going down? It's not just because they fear pain. It's because they fear judgment. And I think we've got an entire generation of people who are really convincing themselves, just like your brother, there's no judgment to come. As a matter of fact, I think what they're doing is whistling past a graveyard and saying to themselves, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. But it's not. There's a judgment that's coming, and we know it. What about you? How does your view of the end change the way that you live right now? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Heaven, hell, new heavens, new earth, judgment. How does that change the way that you live? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, this is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will shed the sins and struggles I have carried all these years. And I'll leave my heart wide open. I will love and have no fear. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, don't cry for me down here.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about where we're going and how does that change the way that we're living right now. And I think really the problem is that a lot of us don't have our lives being impacted by the future at all because we just don't think about it. I think, for instance, there's a lot of people out there who are worried sick about the future. There are a lot of people right now who are refusing to forgive other people. There are a lot of people right now who worship in a way that isn't informed by the end. I think there are a lot of people who go into their churches and they worship as though it's just me and Jesus. I'm just closing my eyes as though that's what the kingdom is about. That's not. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says we're to admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, being together, living in community. That's because that's what we're designed to do. That's what we'll always do. I'm preaching tonight at Open Door Baptist Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina, about the end times and about the new heavens and the new earth. And one of the things I find is that when I go around and preach at churches on this subject, one of the questions that often comes up that people will ask is to say, will we know each other in the new heavens and the new earth? And I think that's a really sad question because that reveals a lot of what we have been taught about the end, which is a really lonely, kind of isolated look into a light existence. But that's not the picture of the new heavens and the new earth that the Scripture gives us. Instead, it's that we're together with the brothers, with the sisters. We're loving one another. We're serving with one another. We're cooperating and working and serving Jesus precisely because that's what redemption is. And if that's what redemption is, then that means that that's the way we ought to be living. That's the kind of thing we ought to be enjoying right now. That's one of the reasons I think why the Bible says that those people who don't, as John says, love the brothers, those who've walked away from the fellowship of the church, ought to be really, really very scared. Being part of the church, being part of the community of Christ, it isn't just that that kind of helps us along and helps us pool our money for missions. If we don't love the church, we don't love the redemption that we have coming. We don't love Christ. Someone who isn't excited to be in the fellowship of God's people is somebody who's probably lost. What it means to be a Christian means to look for the coming of Christ and to love it. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be back tomorrow with Ask Anything Wednesday. Wait to hear from you then. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.